Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
JC, it is now time to make our picks for Week 10 in the CFL. I will give you this, my friend. You nailed the Edmonton Elks, upsetting the Saskatchewan Roughriders in Ryderville. You just happened to pick all the other games wrong against the spread.
Hey, I got the toughest one.
You got the upset.
Got the toughest one right.
You got the toughest one. Well, from here on out, we expect you to not just get the double backflip three-pointers. We need you to get the layups, too. Mind you, there haven't really been any layups this season. I mean, a number of last week's games were either shockers or extremely close. As someone who picked the Argonauts to cover at McMahon Stadium, I was cursing the Stabs for covering by 1 point in the last gasps of that game. Oh, well, such is the plight of those of us who place bets against the spread. And hopefully we'll all do better this week ahead of a full game slate. I'm going to be at two of these games in person to either witness my brilliant picks or my terrible picks, depending on which way the cookie grumbles. We'll start with the Ottawa Redblacks being short home favorites over the visiting Saskatchewan Roughriders on Thursday, where they'll look to win four straight games within the same season for the first time since 2015. Riders head coach Corey Mace has said there's a chance Trevor Harris will play in this one, though it seems more likely that Shea Patterson will make his sixth straight start so Harris can finish his term on the injured list. JC, can Saskatchewan bounce back after a tough outing against Edmonton, or will the Red Blacks continue their hot streak?
Look, if Trevor Harris was actually making his return, I'd consider this, but I don't buy that he's coming back this week. I think it's more likely that he will sit out this one and return in the next one. And the Riders are just still too banged up for me to really trust them to get back to their winning ways. They'll probably get Anthony Lanier back along the defensive line this week. That would be a huge boost, but you look at the first day of practice, and we're recording this on Tuesday, but Monday, no Malik Kearney. There was no Jameer Thurman. Those are two huge losses to that defense if they are unable to go this week. And AJ Ouellette still not back, still injured, still unable to practice. Meanwhile, the Ottawa Redblacks are getting healthy in all sorts of ways. Could have Brandon Dandridge back on their defense. He is a huge piece. We all know that he's a threat to score, whether on special teams or on defense. And guess what? Devontae Dedmon also looks like he's trending towards a return. That's a guy who can make you pay as a returner on any given punt or kickoff. So I'm going to go with the Ottawa Redblacks to win this game and to cover the spread. I think they'll have it at home. This is the best Red Blacks team that we've seen in a long while in Saskatchewan. While they're very good, I think they just got to get healthy. That'll start in a couple weeks' time. when Trevor Harris is back.
Yes, I like the Red Blacks for many of the same reasons that you do, JC. They're getting healthy. They are not 5-2 because of their secondary. They are 5-2 in spite of their secondary, and they're getting a lot of help there back this week. I also think, like, well, Armstead is going to be fresh because he only played for a little over a quarter last week before he got ejected. Those are some fresh legs into the lineup. And I'll say this for the Riders. Last week, I think everybody was on the Lions largely because they were coming off a bye and the Bombers were coming off a short week. Well, guess what? This is the same situation. The Riders are coming off a short week. The Red Blacks are on bye. The difference, of course, is that the Bombers were at home. The Riders are not. So that is a lot to overcome. I'm still bullish on the Riders long term. This should be Trevor Harris's last game on the 6-game injured list, assuming he doesn't play. I don't think he will. But I'm going to take the Ottawa Red Blacks to improve to 6-2 and win 4 straight games within the same regular season for the first time since 2015. The Calgary Stampeders and Toronto Argonauts will play the second half of their home-and-home at BMO Field on Friday night in what is essentially a pick'em. Cameron Dukes ran all over Calgary's defense last week to build a 16-point lead at halftime when the Stampeders were booed off the field at home. Calgary caught fire in the second half to complete the comeback, however, even covering the 3-point spread, much to my hatred. JC, can the Argonauts avoid another collapse in what could be their final game before Chad Kelly returns from suspension?
This game is rightfully a pick'em. It should have been a pick'em last week, and the result showed it, right? They are two tight football teams right now, very little separating them. And frankly, I think it's just tough enough to win back-to-back games against the same opponent in the CFL that I'm going to go back to my pick from last week and side with the Argos. They'll be at home this time around. I think Ryan Dinwiddie is an excellent schemer. He'll have seen what Calgary did to defend him, particularly in that fourth quarter in the second half, and shut down Cameron Dukes. And he'll have the corrections to be made to get back to the running game and get back to basics in order to topple the Stamps. He was critical of himself in the post-game press conference. He put it all on him for not making the right calls. That will be different this week, and the Argos will win their last game, potentially, without Chad Kelly.
I am with you here, JC, on the Argonauts straight up and against what I think is like a 1-point spread, but that's going to change, of course, over the coming days. To me, the Argonauts should have won this first matchup. I know that that offensive line coming into the season was vaunted. I was shocked to see them give up not only 6 sacks, but to do so against the team that coming into that game had arguably the worst pass rush in the CFL. I don't think that that unit led by Juwan Simpson and Brett Monson is going to be able to surprise the Argonauts again. I think we're going to see the proper adjustments made. And I also think that the Argos are, as Ryan Dinwiddie said, going to run the ball more. Kadeem Carey looked good against his old team. I have no idea why the Argonauts did not rely on him. He should have had 25 to 30 touches in that game, and yet they continually put the ball into Cameron Dukes' hands. Not that Cameron Dukes was poor in this game. I think he ran the ball very well, but I think in the grand scheme of things, you need to trust Kadeem Carey behind this offensive line that was run blocking very well, but was struggling against the pass in their pass protection schemes. Particularly, I thought Gregor McKellar at guard, former first round pick, struggled. Mike Rose flashed. This Toronto team, if they could stay dialed in, should be good to go. And I also like the line here. I know traditionally the home side gets a 3-point advantage against the spread, but let's be honest, Calgary and Toronto are not the biggest home field advantages in the CFL. This isn't Regina. It's not Winnipeg. It's not even Hamilton or Montreal with those annoying air horns. This is Calgary. This is Toronto. They're not neutral site games. Home field is still worth something, but it's not as much as it would be worth elsewhere. I'm going to take the Argos to win. They should have done it last week. I think they'll get it done this week. The Montreal Alouettes are 7.5-point favorites for the second half of their home-and-home against the Hamilton Tiger Cats after thumping the Tabbies in Steeltown last week. Cody Fajardo is likely to return from a hamstring injury for this one after missing last week when Davis Alexander threw for 262 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 pick. Montreal's defense was dominant as usual, picking off Bolivar Mitchell twice and holding the Ticats to just 16 points. JC, can the Alouettes cover this wide spread?
I don't think they can this week, only because it is so tough to do that in back-to-back weeks, right? The Alouettes blew the doors off of the Tabbies last week. There is a wide disparity between these two teams, but this is the CFL. Everybody knows everybody, and when you're playing the same opponent twice, there are going to be corrections. It's going to be a tighter-fought football game. I think Hamilton will have some answers offensively. They're not going to be enough to win, but if Kogi has a little bit of rust when he's coming back, he's not quite firing on all cylinders, I think there'll be just enough space for the Ticats to cover this spread, although I think the Alouettes will win it.
Yeah, we don't have, as of this recording, any updates on the injury situation for either team, aside from Caleb Evans, who's out for the year with a knee injury. But to me, I think that the Alouettes are going to cover this spread, and I think they're going to cover this spread quite easily. I'm more than happy to eat all 7.5 points here. If you can beat the Ticats by 16 points in Steeltown, you can certainly beat them by more than 7.5 points in the friendly confines of Percival Molson Stadium, where the Alouettes have had a raucous atmosphere so far this season. The Alouettes have by far and away the number one defense in the league. Their offense does not turn the ball over very often. Those big mistakes that are usually the type of errors that lead home teams to fail to cover these types of spreads are not the type of mistakes and errors that the Montreal Alouettes generally make. Walter Fletcher, I think, has shown flashes this season. Not that this team runs the ball a whole heck of a lot, but I think that this team is well suited to not just win this game, but win it by a relatively large margin. Not because they're going to put up 50 points on offense, but because I think they're going to hold the Ticats to under 20 points again on offense. Bolivar Mitchell and company under Scott Milanovic, they've done a great job of putting up yardage. They haven't always converted that into points. I'm happy to take the Alouettes here minus the 7.5. The BC Lions will visit the Edmonton Elks on Sunday for a game that, as of this recording, does not have a betting line. Vernon Adams Jr. is expected to miss this game due to a knee injury he sustained in last week's lopsided loss to Winnipeg, with former Rough Riders quarterback Jake Dolagala likely making his first start as a member of the Leos. The Elks, meanwhile, will be rolling out Trey Ford for a second straight start after he ignited Edmonton's offense to the tune of 42 points and the team's first win last week. JC, can the Elks do the unthinkable and make it two in a row?
Yes, yes, they can. And frankly, once the betting line rolls out for this game, if it's a touchdown, if it's more, I don't care what the points are. I'm taking the Elks to win and win big in this game. And that's simply because the Lions aren't going to have Vernon Adams Jr. He's week to week with that knee injury. Jake Dolagala coming in to start is just about the worst possible situation that this team could be in, because they have some real problems on that offensive line. And Jake Dolagala is a statue in the pocket. 6'7". He might as well have a big sign on the front of his jersey that says, "Hit me, please," because he's going to get no protection at all this week. He looked, to quote Shaquille O'Neal, horror awful in the preseason. I don't think he's going to look any better with this offensive line in front of him in the regular season. The Elks aren't going to turn around overnight, but they're going to get another huge win here because their opponents just don't have what they need under center.
I would be happy to take Edmonton up to a field goal in this game. I'm not sure I'd give them a touchdown, but I have the exact same concern as you. Last week, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers absolutely collapsed the pocket on Vernon Adams Jr., taking a leaf out of the book we saw the Calgary Stampeders write the previous week on how to defend Vernon Adams Jr. Obviously, Jake Dolagala is different, but at 6'7", I think he has a little bit of underrated athleticism, but he's certainly not Vernon Adams Jr. He is somebody who is going to need to throw from the pocket, and I do not think that BC's offensive line can get that done. They struggled badly against the defensive front in Winnipeg last week, a unit that had not generated much pressure at all with three or four guys up front so far this season. I think that Edmonton, led by Noah Curtis, Sean Oakman, who had a bit of a breakout performance for them last week, can get into Jake Dolagala's face, force him to make mistakes. I don't love Edmonton's secondary, but they do have some great athletes back there who I think could take advantage of some errant throws or some off-target passes. And offensively, we all know what Trey Ford is capable of doing. Last week, his numbers weren't sensational, under 300 yards passing and rushing combined. But what he did is force Saskatchewan to spread out that front extra wide, keep contain, and that opened up all the rushing lanes Javon Leak needed to rush for only 12 times, almost 200 yards, three touchdowns. Obviously, we know that BC, their defense will be watching that game film, planning accordingly, but there's only so much you can do to stop Trey Ford. If you're going to keep him in the pocket, which Saskatchewan did, you might still give up over 200 rushing yards and 42 points. So I'm happy to take the Elks here up to a field goal, maybe as much as minus four, minus five. If it gets up to a touchdown here, I would happily take the BC Lions with those points on the road, despite the quarterback change that is presumed at this point. We don't know that it's changing, but we do know that Ferdinand Adams Jr., less than a week ago, was carted off the field, unable to put weight on that leg. I think it's pretty safe to suggest that Jake Dolagala will be the starter for this one. And until next week, we thank you as always for listening to our picks here at Three Down Nation. Week 10 should be an exciting one. Again, I'm super pumped about being at two of these games in person out east. It's going to be a blast. Enjoy it, folks. And don't forget to join us next week for our next episode of the Three Down Nation podcast. We'll see you then.